Hello, and welcome to Reflections on Life. My name is Liz Bobo. I've been a resident of Howard County in Columbia for quite a few years and love taking a look back at and also forward on the great life I'm privileged to be able to live here in this community. Today, I'm going to be interviewing the editor of a publication called the Little Patuxent Review. Actually, he's not the editor, he's the chair of the board of the Little Patuxent Review, which I have agreed to serve on. When I was in public office for over 25 years and then left public office, I swore to myself that I would never, ever go on another board, that I wanted my life to be totally without structure. But I had attended readings of poetry and literature at the Little Patuxent Review since its inception. And when I had this opportunity from Brian, it was one that I just couldn't turn down because I really value this publication very much. So I'm able to use the education that I received as a literature major in college, which is somewhat of a story in itself. I grew up in a family with very, very little financial means. My dad got Parkinson's disease when I was 5 years old, and he was just right behind the disabilities bill that would have given him a steady income. So in order for me to go to college, my mom went back to work as a secretary in a legal firm in Baltimore, and I went to College Park and I majored in literature. And it just seemed so natural to me to major in literature. I was so used to seeing my mom read when she had spare time. And her favorite authors were Thomas Merton and Dickens. And she would read, and that's what she would do when she finished her day's work. So when I went to college, I majored in literature. And I'm so glad I did, because had I had finances on the forefront of my mind, I would never have done it. As it was, I would take a semester off every once in a while in order to make some money so I could help my mom out with the household expenses. And then eventually my dad died at a relatively early age, and my mom and I moved to much more financially easy conditions. So when I finished school as in literature, and I was so happy that that's what I'd chosen, but it had just never occurred to me to think of, well, how are you going to support yourself now? You know, what kind of work are you going to do? And then I decided to go to law school, and I did do that and pass the bar. And from there is had an awful lot to do with my life of getting involved in politics here in this county. But literature remains my love, and where I get my thoughts and sometimes solve my problems that pop up in life reading from good literature. So I so value that people like Brian, our guest here today, are as willing to give his time and his knowledge and his organizational skills to keeping something like the Little Patuxent Review alive and thriving in our community. In the earlier stages, there were quite a few early stages of this publication. There were quite a few very early Columbians. Most of you listeners are probably aware that in the early days of Columbia, people moved from all over the country to live in Jim Rouse's community, that the community didn't even exist in some places. They'd have to stay in apartments nearby until they could get one of the first homes. And many of these people were very interested in the arts and in literature. And that fit right in with Jim Rouse's plans for this community. Just to run through a few of the names that any of you who have been around for a while might recognize: John Levering, Wes Yamaka, Ralph and Margot Tritell, Lang Buren, Jackson Barry, George Deeds. And some of those names were the same names. Now, to get back to the Little Patuxent Review, which is really the topic at hand, they were some of the people who worked on the original versions, the original editions of the Little Patuxent Review, which was a very much respected literary journal. And there was a break in there. I don't know how many years, Brian. Was it about 5 years that publication ceased?
Yeah, it went for about 3 or 4 years, and then it was reintroduced back about 9 years ago, I think it was.
I have it down as 8, but you may be right. I might be right. Yeah. And it was revived mainly. And anything I say, Brian, that you know not to be correct, please speak up and let me know.
I think it's actually 14 years ago that it became the current form that we have now.
Okay. So a gentleman by the name of Mike Clark was the impetus, the force behind bringing the Little Patuxent Review back to life. Is that what you have in your records, Brian?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yep.
So Mike was a reporter for the Baltimore Sun, and he covered Columbia. That was his beat. And he loved Columbia. He very much fit in with Jim Rouse's priorities. He covered me in my early days in politics and now tells me sometimes he feels bad about some of the things he wrote, but he did a very good job. He was not an easy interviewer. And I wish we had more people in the media today who would ask the kind of tough questions that he did. So at any rate, 2 years ago, Brian England, who's here with me today, asked me if I would join the board. And I decided that I would. And I haven't felt real clear about what my role is there. It's a very good board, just some excellent teachers from the community college, excellent authors in their own right. And now to be able to do this program here makes me feel like I'm going to be contributing a little more than I had felt before. So, Brian, tell us how you feel we're doing at the Little Patuxent Review. What are you happy with? Where do you think we need to focus? Do you think the community appreciates us as much as they should?
Well, of course, we start off with the reason I was brought to the board was to try and just move it along and just get more people, more from the business angle rather than from the literature angle. So my goal was to make the Little Patuxent Review more self-sufficient and take the readership to a higher level. And of course, one of the groups that have been really supportive of the Little Patuxent Review is the community college. I mean, they're our biggest customer. And then another customer is the Barnes & Noble of Ellicott City and Columbia. They've been very supportive. They sell 20 to 30 copies of the Little Patuxent Review every year with the two issues. We produce an issue in January, then another one in June or late June. So that's my main goal, to sell more copies, get it out to people so they read it. It's full of poetry, fiction, non-fiction, there's art. There's something for everybody in the Little Patuxent Review. And so this is the current copy. So we're doing a video, we can show that. And it's just a thrilling book. I keep this, I take a time to read it, reread it as well. I share poems. I'm in a poetry group with the Baltimore Ethical Society, so I share some of those poems from the Little Patuxent Review with them. So that's my take on the Little Patuxent Review. And as you said, we got a great team, and the support from the community college is great. And of course, we got George Clack, who's the vice president of the Little Patuxent Review. He teaches at the community college, which is good as well.
I think I've told you before, Brian, that many of my women friends about my age take George's class. And they tell me that when they watch for the time when the opening, when it's open enrollment, and they just make it top priority that they're ready to get their names in there first. It's a sellout every year, every semester. And they really, and some of them are retired teachers, people who have, shall I say, without sounding judgmental, they have very good judgment in reading good literature. So it's an amazingly qualified board for this small publication.
Yeah, George's classes are just wonderful. You know, hopefully you're going to get George up on the Little Patuxent Review Dragon Radio program.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
He's good.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in his classes, he's a great teacher.
Yes, and a good human being to boot. So one of the people, I have one quote here that I want to read, someone who I think was published in some early Little Patuxent Reviews, but I could be wrong about that. But he is a very, very well-known author who was born and raised here in Columbia, name being Michael Chabon. And he has a quote that I wanted to read here because I think it's so appropriate. Michael Chabon, who's now living in California, says, I believe that my parents' decision to move us into the midst of that unfinished, ongoing act of architectural and social imagination altered the course of my life and made me into the writer that I am. And he has won just about every recognition one can in the United States as an author of fiction. Cavalier and Clay, I guess, is one of his best known books. But I love that he gives that recognition to the new town of Columbia and the environment of living in the new town of Columbia in the early days that helped create the skills and his own creativity. And now I think that the Little Patuxent Review is an organization that is continuing on making this kind of publication available to others, and including young people and some who already we know from some of our past not too distant programs that they are learning and using the Little Patuxent Review as something to help them get their own literary careers off the ground and flourishing. So, Brian, what is it that you would like to see the community do to embrace, to recognize, to help the Little Patuxent Review not only survive, because it's looking pretty clearly now that that's going to happen, I think we're in pretty strong shape, but to flourish and to grow and to be available to more people? And before you, yes, go on. So let me stop there.
One of the things is we've got to get it to more young people. And I think the community college is going to be one of the main drivers because they've embraced us so much. I mean, I deliver 50 copies per issue to the community college. So it's being used in multiple classes. And I think that's going to really help. And of course, this media, you know, Dragon Radio, you know, getting the word out to people about the publication, but also getting the word out about Columbia, why Columbia is so special. You know, I'm passionate about getting the message. You know, Columbia is such a wonderful place to grow up. We somehow grew up in this, which was meant to be the next America. And of course, if it had been the next America, we would have much more a country that wasn't so divided as it is now. So, Columbia is a great model for communities. And it's really wonderful that the fact that this publication has grown out of this community, and for Mike Clark to bring it back, it was really at the right time as we come up to celebrating our 40th and then our 50th anniversary.
Right. And I think it's safe to say, this is a judgment on my part, that it's also just at the right time considering what life is like in our nation right now. It's not an easy time. I have such deep gratitude and respect for people who were willing to go into public office now in this particular time, and particularly at the national level. And they need poetry, whether they know it or not. They can really benefit from reading good poetry. For all the years that I spent in public office, albeit only at the county and the state level, I just can only imagine the pressure that people in office are undergoing now. And I also can maybe more than imagine how difficult it must be to be a part of a government that is so torn as we are right now. And I can't think of any medium that can be more helpful to us as individuals, whether we are officially involved in government or simply living here as very privileged citizens in this country, that we can benefit so much from reading good literature and good poetry. So it's an unexpected, important time for literature, I believe. So what else would you like to see?
I think that's a good segue into reading a poem.
I would love that. And I would love that.
In this current edition, one of the things about poetry, it really enables you to empathy. And there's a poem here by E. Ethelbert Miller called Black Men Are Precious. And I'll read this poem. Black men, black friends have strokes. Black men, younger than me, good men with bad hearts. Men who did not follow, their fathers into the factories or the post office, black men who went off to college and pulled themselves up by degrees, men who did not sink into despair but lifted their families into new homes, black men who survived the bullets, the streets, and the police, black men who saw horizons and the stars. They marched as if Garvey had held out his hand, not to Ethiopia, but to our own hearts, black hearts now failing for unknown reasons. Why? Why do we die so young? Why are we not like our grandfather, sitting on the porch, rocking away the years? Why are we not black men returning from the wars and lifting up our girlfriends into wives again? Why do we date this early death? After all the exercise and pills, after changing diet, why is there such cruel hunger that appears and takes our years? Black men, my friends, resting in their open coffins, waiting for someone to sing Precious Lord and take their hand. Black hand closing with so much love still left to give. Now, that's the sort of powerful poetry that's in this book. And the author of that is interviewed by Susan Fortin Hobby, who's been a wonderful contributor to Little Patuxent Review, and along with, you know, her husband's a really famous photographer as well. So that this community has such incredible people. And of course, having them express it in the Little Patuxent Review is just wonderful.
Well, Brian, beautiful poetry. And I want to add beautiful reading, very heartfelt, beautiful reading. And I very much appreciate your reading that to us here on this program. How do we tell people who are viewing how they go about getting a copy of either that edition or any edition of the Little Patuxent Review?
Well, earlier I mentioned that the Barnes & Noble really help us. So they've got the current issue in Barnes & Noble in Columbia, in Ellicott City. We also got it, of course, in the bookshop in the community college. They got copies too. And if you come by BA Auto Care, we have copies there as well. We always have them on display, and we got them. So there's, or of course, the obvious one is to go online, and you can just get one online. But if you want to touch it and feel it before you buy it, then of course you've got many opportunities to do that. And I think Barnes & Noble, I've been plugging them, but they have been so supportive. Of course, they do run the bookshop in the community college, but to have those bookstores support it. When I walk in, people say, oh, great, a new edition. You know, it's just the enthusiasm of these two bookstores. And, you know, to have one open up in our town centre is just really a wonderful thing to have. So go along to Barnes & Noble, look at the copy, read a couple of poems, and then support us, and then tell your friends.
Right. And thanks again for that beautiful reading. What do you see ahead in the next month, 6 months, year for LPR? Do you think what we're living through in this nation and this planet, not just politically, but also climate change, will just continue getting the best writings we can, right?
Right. And then, of course, this is the divide between us, because we're on the board and we do the business side of things and making sure the publication gets out. But of course, there are many people that do all the readings. We get over 1,000 submissions per issue. So there's all the people reading the poetry that comes in and reading the stories and putting all this together. And it's all under the Chelsea is a new editor. And she has to take all this, organize all this to make sure that it's published on time. And it's a hard job to choose out all the articles out of, you know, 1,000 submissions. It's quite a task.
Yes, I can only imagine. What do you think, other than just making the publications available? Well, that is it. Just to get the best publications we have, get word out where they are, tell people how pertinent they are to what's going on in the world today from every perspective possible. You know,
and share the poems. And the submission period is quite long. We're just coming to the end of one submission period. But if you write, if you've got poems that you want to share, then send them to the Little Patuxent Review. You know,
can you give a little bit more thorough than Little Patuxent Review? If they look it up, they'll find it.
Go to our website.
Onto the website. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, how are you planning to, are you making any adjustments in your life based on what's going on with the virus and with the international situation that we're right in the middle of? Or yeah, are you able to continue your walks in the little Patuxent Valley? I think you are.
Yes, plenty of walks. Yes, and I think that's when you sort of, you know, ideas for writing poetry comes when you're out in the forest or out in the middle of Patuxent environmental area or just out walking in Columbia, you know, with 100 miles of bike paths, right?
And that's what, right.
We both enjoy walking and I enjoy cycling as well. So being out and about in this beautiful town is a really great thing to do. And that's one of the ways dealing with the virus is to be out there in the community. It's
right.
It's good.
Right. So we talked in the beginning about your business endeavors and how you got things started in your business and how well it's gone. But something that I have wanted to ask you for a long time and never have, and that is, what made you decide to move to the United States in the first place? What attracted you? And how has it worked out, not just for you, but for the members of your family?
Well, the original plan was to try and travel the United States and see the United States. And then that sort of fell through because it's very expensive to do that. And then I decided to look for work. So I wrote to all the different dealerships that dealt with Rover cars on the East Coast, and about 13 of them.
And what kind of cars?
Land Rover and Rover.
Oh, okay. All right.
So They wrote back, and one place in Rockville wrote back and said, yes, we'll employ you. And then 2 years later, we got the job. And the idea was to come over for a couple of years, but we're here for about 6 months. And someone said, well, why don't you buy a house? And so they wanted to buy a house in the Rockville area, but we saw single family homes available up in Columbia. So we drove up 29 and came in on Owens Mills Road, saw this house, and went and bought a house in Oakland Mills off of Fairwell Road. And that's how we ended up staying. And we took a long time to actually tell people where we'd bought a house because Fairwell Road sounded very much like the O'Briens are going to stay in America. But it worked out really good. So then about 6 years later, we opened our business, you know, British American Auto Care, which we just recently changed the name to BA Auto Care because we work on all different cars and things. So, and now, of course, the business has gone over to my daughter. Sandy runs the business now on a day-to-day basis. So we had two children, Sandy and Jill. Jill lives up in Frederick in Newmarket, Lake Ligonier, which is another sort of separate sort of community. But I mean, I think we're so lucky to grow up in Columbia. I mean, it's just a wonderful experience. And that's one of the things I'm passionate about is keeping Columbia a planned community, because a lot of pressures to dilute our community, you know, pressures from development. And we want to stand out as a wonderful community and keep all those values going. And that's why I really work on doing that. That's how I came to stay. We came to stay in America and have enjoyed this area and enjoyed Columbia.
Well, you've been a great addition to our community. And we do. Columbia is a remarkable community. And I think it's very important that we keep alive the vision and the history that Jim Rouse had. You know, he was very intentional about race issues, for example. Mm-hmm. And I can remember them because I was around. And I know at one point I have a letter that he wrote that I keep framed in my office. And it's a letter to people in the real estate industry and real estate agencies about not sifting through people who were applying for leases or to purchase a home. And he said, you know, Columbia is an open city, and anyone who violates that will never do business in Columbia again. I'm paraphrasing, but it was every bit that strong. And so some people and spoke up and said, well, you know, what can you do? You're not a real estate person. You know, you can't control who we sell to. And he said, you're very right about that. He said, but there's a lot more building to do here. And I do control who gets to build here. I should show this letter to you. And Maybe I should even bring it to one of my programs on Dragon Radio. He said, you know, this, you will never do business in Columbia again if I see any kind of discrimination, and that included racial. And racial discrimination has, I mean, it's national, people's nationalities have become much more involved in discrimination as well. It's not simply blacks and whites, but he said it, and this is a rather coarse phrase, but he literally put his money where his mouth was, and all of the schools were integrated, you know, from the very beginning. And it had a huge impact on the lives of the kids who grew up that way. What a beautiful way to grow up, a middle school and a high school. And my kids growing up, we didn't live in Columbia at the time. We were right outside, and Ellicott City had bought there right before Columbia started. And both of them had African-American friends, just like all of their other friends growing up. And what a gift, you know, what a gift. So I think Little Patuxent Review just fits beautifully into Jim Rouse's dream, as he called it, and into the city that he developed to bring his dream to life. And it's our job to keep that dream alive. And I think Little Patuxent Review is playing a good role in doing that. As I will add, is the community college, not just with their academic programs, but with their excellent art programs and literature programs and music programs. It's just a wonderful addition, you know, to our community. So as we close, Brian, I know that you have all kinds of ideas and plans for the future of the Little Patuxent Review, keeping it not only alive, but vivid and a voice in our community, not just in the art world, but in the entire community. So could you tell us anything about your thoughts and plans for the future of LPR?
Well, my main goal, of course, is to have a good board that's going to guide the Little Patuxent Review into the future. And that's something we've got with all the different board members. We have 10 people on the board, and they all work tirelessly to make sure this publication goes out and reaches people. I think with Chelsea, the new editor, with new ideas, it's going to really freshen up the Patuxent Review in the future. So it's going to be really interesting when that issue comes out in January of 2021, just what's going to be in there. So it's very exciting to see Chelsea's fingerprint on Little Patuxent Review. And she comes with great recommendations from everybody.
All right. I look forward to being a part of it with you. Thank you for today.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best, Liz.
All the best to you too. This has been Reflections on Life on Dragon Radio at Howard Community College.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the...